Okay, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TangoTangoTango, and this is the Bergen Image Radio Association Technical Net. Any stations with emergency or priority traffic, please call K2BRAVO-ALPHA-ROMEO. Alrighty, well, blessedly nothing was heard to that request. So I should probably explain this net. This net's a little different than others. First of all, the net's open to all amateur radio operators with privileges to operate in the 2-meter amateur band in these here United States or in a foreign country able to access via Echolink. If you are going to use the Echolink node tonight, it's K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L. And I do encourage you to use it because you can text me through that interface, even if you're not going to use the RF side. You can text questions or comments to me through the Echolink chat. Anyway, so with that in mind, we should probably describe what this net's about. This net is about a conversation dealing with amateur radio, electronics, electricity, telecommunications, computers, how we use these wonderful things, pretty much anything you want. You can ask a question, you can make a comment, i.e. raise a topic, something that intrigued you, something that pleased you, something that annoyed you, whatever. It's a conversation among friends, so no problem or offense will be taken here. With that in mind, we should probably talk about how we check in. We check in by giving our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Now, you might ask, well, if I don't have a question or comment, why do you want me to check in? Well, the answer to that question is very simple. Because when you check in, you become a de facto resource for the net. We might ask you your opinion about something or your experience with something or something related to the topic that you might be doing that you hadn't thought to raise, that we can tie topics together. So that would be the reason for your doing that. So we hope you will. Well, again, whether or not you have a question or comment, et cetera. If you're going to if you're going to use Echolink, again, it's K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L is the node name. And I'm in the process of signing on to that as we speak. I'm in. Otherwise, you'll hear the audio in the background. With the echo delay, it's a couple of seconds. Yeah, you don't need that. So I'll fix that. There we go. All gone. Alrighty. So with that in mind, we have KJ4JPS, Mark, in here. And we have Nestor KD2AKP. Congratulations, Nestor, once again on your new call. And so let's take you guys first to see if you have questions or comments for the net. Just let me know whether you have a question, comment, you know, multiple questions, multiple comments, whatever. Both or none of the above. So let's do Nestor first, KD4AKP, K2BAR. Connected, W2TTT.
KD2AKP, good evening, caller. Good evening to the net. Right now, I don't have any questions or comments. So, back to you, Gordon. Thank you.
Okay, Nestor, very good. Where are you located tonight, by the way?
Tonight, I am in West Orange, New Jersey.
Okay, very good. I was just curious. All right, very good. Nestor holds a Charlie X-ray call as well. That's why I was asking. You never know where people are going to pop up from. Another station in here, KJ4JPS. Mark, I don't know if you're coming in by Echolink or coming in directly off of the RF side, but will you have questions or comments or both for the net tonight?
Yeah, hey, buddy. I'm coming in on Echolink. I just downloaded this again. Last week, I was out of Echolink for about a year, and I really enjoy Echolink. I'm down located, my QTH is south of Richmond, Virginia, in right outside of Petersburg, Virginia, in the peanut capital of the world. back to you, over.
I know, Mark. I thought that was Plains, Georgia, or Tuskegee, Alabama. But I'll let you fight it out with those boys. all right. Very good. Very good. Well, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here from I think you said near Richmond, Virginia. That's excellent. All righty. Since we're on a kilo kind of qualified prefix streak, anybody else with a kilo prefix, please call KQBAR.
KQDSL, David. No questions, back to net.
Okay, I have KD2DSL David, and I have KC2SQP, Stuart. Good evening to you, Stuart. Stuart, you have no questions or comments. I got that. David, you have questions or comments for the net?
No, none at this time. Thanks, Gordon.
No problem. I'm really glad to hear you guys in, though. And I'm going to take much longer pauses tonight. I was reminded when Nestor piped in on the echo link that you really have to be patient, and I was reminded of that last week when I was remote in the wilds of the Adirondacks. So it does take a couple of seconds extra to really get everybody in. So we'll make sure we leave frequent pauses for our echo link guys, and also we'll make sure that we keep an eye on the screen. In case they want to get a word in edgewise, they can text me and say, hey, I want to make a comment, you know, that kind of thing. So we'll keep an eye on that window as well. Alrighty.
K2ZO.
Good evening, James. Will you be giving us questions or comments?
Comments. I have no real question, but I have some comments on something that I built.
Most excellent. Very good. Any other kilos? All right, let's go to the whiskeys.
W1AU.
All right, I got Bill, W1AU, none of the above. Who is the other whiskey?
U2JEK, Don.
Okay, Don, do you have questions or comments?
Nothing really, no.
All righty. I want to have a question for you about that new QRP rig that's coming out. I guess it's available in the fall from the K3 people. Looks like a really neat little radio. Well, like a control head with a BNC connector on it. You mentioned that, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and boy, am I drooling. That's another story. We'll talk about that later. Any other whiskeys?
W2CH, Ray, none of the above.
Evening, Ray. Hear you. Any other whiskeys? Alrighty, no members.
Hey, this is November 2, Oscar Kilo Oscar.
November 2, Oscar Kilo Oscar. Your name and your intention, sir?
Name is Matt, and I just wanted to listen in. I haven't checked into this net before.
Okay, very good. Matt, where are you located?
I'm in West. I'm just using my HD right now.
I'm sorry, you just dropped out for a second. You're in West where?
Westwood.
Okay, very good, Westwood. Very nice. Okay, very fine. All right, any other Novembers? Okay, how about Alphas?
AA2NI, Nico, no, none of the above.
Okay, Nico, very good. Actually, I have a question for you, so don't go far. And it's about that roll-up antenna that was, quote, very cool, unquote, that my wife somehow saw or heard about or something. I'm trying to remember where where that came across your radar, but anyway, if you don't mind, I'd like to describe that at some point. So I do have a, I'm going to ask you to comment on that later. Any other stations with an alpha call?
OKJ4JPS disconnected.
Okay, any other stations, period, any call sign, any type, K2BAR.
K2AMI, lead check-in. Maybe a comment, but no questions.
No problem, Tony. Very good. We'll definitely take note of that and get you in the queue. Anybody else? Alrighty, well, I think we have enough to get us moving here, and I think that's the important part. So I'm going to suggest that we get started. Our first comment of the evening is K2 Zulu Oscar. Mr. Jim, your pleasure.
Okay, a couple of extra beeps there. Do we have it? This is K2 Zeta. Were you making it here, K2 VAR, K2 Zeta?
Yeah, Jim, it's fine. No problem.
Okay, I heard a couple extra strange beeps and I wasn't sure. Just wanted to comment on something I've been fooling with, and I've been building a couple of interfaces for myself and for the county OEM, and also for a couple of guys in the club. I've been fooling with a chip, and this is an interface required to go from a radio to an amplifier. And this is an HSR-412. They cost about $5 a piece, and this thing will switch 400 volts at a quarter of about 200 mils, and it requires just an input, a voltage input. It's optically isolated. It's got a diode and two FETs. Let me drop it.
The model number again?
Okay, two MOSFETs. HSR-412. And if you do a search, you'll find that thing. They're also pretty available on eBay. Anyway, this thing has two FETs in it, two N-channel FETs that have a common ground. So you can switch two things. Or if you put them in series, since they're protected by diodes, you can switch AC with it, which is very interesting. And what I did was I took the 12 volts that's available in the Kenwood radios that's available on transmit. There's 12 volts at 10 mils. I reduced that with a 1K resistor so that there would only be about 4 or 5 mils going through this, which is sufficient to key it. And then what I did is I paralleled up the two FETs. On the one that I built for the county, I put the two FETs in series with that chip so that it will key a negative or a positive radio. By positive, I mean the relay output. If you look at the Collins 30L1, it has a negative going voltage. And requires some special attention if you're going to key it with your radio, because your radio will only key plus voltage at a low voltage, and this is a minus 110 volts. Same thing with the SB220, which has got a positive 110 volts, as well as the TL922, which is positive 80. So if you have any of those, you need one of these with most of the radios that are out there. I have the radio set up in the solid state switch mode, and then I just switched this thing, and I just set the 10 volts that come out of the Kenwood, and in the case of the Yaesu, I took the 12 volts available on the jack, looped it through with a 1K resistor, and used that to switch it for the one I made for Jim, KC2BRY. Anyway, it's a very interesting chip. If you have an interface problem to an amplifier, go take a look at it. It's cheap and it works good. It's the HSR 412. Back to that.
Yeah, I made a written note of that. I actually put it in the net report for tonight, just as a reminder. It'll end up sitting in my email forever and ever. That's great. That's great. So if someone needs a reminder later, they can ask me for it, and I'll be happy to send it on. It's right next to your call sign in the log. Anybody with comments for Jim? Anybody with comments for Jim on Echolink? Alrighty. Very fine. It seems that Mark dropped off the net. That may have been what we heard beeping before, guys. Alrighty. Any further follow-up questions or comments, Jim?
No, that's just, I just wanted to let people know that there's a very easy solution. I mean, you could do this for $5 rather than spending $30 or $40 or using a slow relay. This is very, very quick, and if you don't want that to hang up with the relays, I certainly do, don't, because it causes delay with break-in. This thing works very well.
Oh, I like the idea that it switches AC as well. So let's just say you have a 110-volt Dowkey relay that you're wondering how you're going to switch. Well, your prayers are answered, and, no problem. I mean, as long as you're not going to operate it portable, from a 12-volt source. You're operating from home, and you just need a way to take your transistorized radio and make it switch a Dowkey relay. You're all set. So that's great. Or let me add this, a Transco relay and a few others. I'm thinking if you have a preamps or some other such things. Jim, just out of curiosity, what package does it typically come in, package type, and also does it require any heat sinking?
No heat sinking required. It's a regular as a dual inline or also a surface mount. The one I put together for Dave and for Jim, KC2VRY, I just did the old bed bug construction and ran the wires in and out. I used RG174, and then I covered it up with a piece of epoxy, the epoxy putty that hardens like a rock. So it just looks like a snake that swallowed something. on the piece of cable, but they work very well. And as far as keying AC, I ran into a guy that needed one to key an MCL 2000, which happens to be an AC relay in that amplifier. One of the few amateur pieces of equipment that had that. So I suggested that, and it worked quite well for him. Back to that K2ZO.
MCL amplifier, national had internal relays, and they were 110, and that was the genesis of it all, right?
Yeah, the NCL 2000, believe it or not, had an AC relay in it.
Right, but it had the antenna changeover relay built into the amplifier, right?
But it was AC. But, all our old Dow keys, by the way, were AC. But another trick, if you had a 110-volt AC Dowkey relay and measured its resistance, what you would find is that you could easily use that at 24 volts DC or even 12 volts.
Really? It makes sense that you mention it, but I figured it would take a little more voltage. But you know what? I should try that because I have a goodly number of those. I have at least one 12-volt Dowkey kicking around. But, wow, that's a great idea. I should try that. Very definitely. Thank you. You learn something every day.
Question?
Go ahead, question.
Next to Jim, there's a question. You mentioned the using break-in. I presume you're talking about CW. I was just wondering how fast the Dowkey relay will follow whatever you're sending.
Dowkey relay is not very fast. I have a modified TL922, and I switched the input with a antenna relay from a TS850, and I switched the output with a expensive vacuum relay, Jennings. And they're 24-volt relays, but I use 80 volts on them with a series resistor to speed them up. And as far as switching the cathode of the amplifier, I use a solid-state relay, and it picks its voltage off of the final. So when the final relay pulls in, the cathode gets keyed. And my radio has about a 6-millisecond delay. In that 6 milliseconds, the amplifier can change. So it's silent, it's effortless. I can run Vox with no delay. It's like talking on a telephone. And on CW, of course, I can key the first hit running a kilowatt and not even truncate it. How about that? Back to that.
Did you have any follow-up, Don?
Yeah, thanks, yeah. I was just thinking of some of the old stuff they used to do with some of these relays. You could put a positive voltage on it for the operate and negative voltage for the non-operate. You would speed one of those dial key relays up pretty good if you use positive and negative DC with some kind of a switching.
It's a great idea. So, Jim, you take a low voltage relay and then drive the hell out of it with a resistor as a voltage to put a voltage up just to make sure that it clamps cheaper, faster, better. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. What I did was when I rebuilt the 922, I used the 80 volt power supply that was there for the original relay. I put the 24-volt Jennings HC1 or whatever the heck it is, the real fast one. If you use a speed-up circuit, they'll come in a lot faster. Now, in series with that, if that is the 12-volt relay from the 850 with a resistor across it, okay, to speed it up. To adjust it so for the current so that I can keep that you'll get 12 volts and then another resistor which it picks off the voltage for the solid state relay, the little cube that keys the cathode that's isolated. It's got 4 kV isolation on it, and instantaneous, no clicks, no bumps, no thumps. The resistor in series with that 80 volt supply with, of course, a big capacitor on it, gives it a jolt and accelerates that relay so that it closes within 2 milliseconds. So with the 6-millisecond delay, which is standard with the radio, my radio doesn't have programmable delays, although some do, this thing is perfect. There's looking at out of scope, there's not a sharp edge anywhere. Nothing is switched hot, and it works extremely well.
Interesting. Any more comments for Jim?
What's the meaning of life?
I don't know. Someone sent me a link on Beavis and Butthead go couch fishing. I hesitate to ask what that is. So my guess is it's whatever you find in the bottom of your couch.
Sounds sad to me.
Oh, I'm just teasing. All right, well, welcome, Tom. I'll add you to the roster. All righty, let's see. Any other comments about, tricking relays and messing with them? You're going to have me with a 12-volt supply messing with my Dow keys and a scope and trying to figure out how fast they really are. Alrighty, well, if we are done with that topic, any other check-ins for the net? This is K2BAR.
WA2CAI checking in.
K2BAR? Anybody else?
K2BAR, this is N2OER.
N2OL, Noel. Any comments, questions, confusions for the net?
What question?
We'll get to that. In due time. Alrighty, let's see. Tony had a comment. Let me get to Tony's comment, then I have a question for whom? I had a question for, I was requesting a comment from Nico, so go to Tony first. K2AMI, K2BAR.
Okay, I guess we got the repeater now. This is no worse. The comment is just that this coming Sunday, we've got lots of things happening, like Sunday morning, this July the 10th, is the Sussex County Amateur Radio Ham Fest up at Augusta, New Jersey. I think the gates open around 8 o'clock, and probably runs till long after 2, as I recall. So it's an excellent show. Even if you don't want to buy, just walking around the ham fest with protective hat cover, by all means, you'll find a lot of interesting and educational things. And again, Sunday night is the new meeting night for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association this month, Sunday night, and the program is going to be probably a video on Marlboro Reef. I think we've seen part of that video, but it might be a review of that, plus some more details of some people's Marlboro Reef expedition. And that's about it. Back to net.
Yeah, I know I intend to be at the Sussex campus with my son James on Sunday. In fact, we'll probably be there very late Sunday night like we always do, crash out for a few hours and enjoy the day. So that's going to be fun. Any other comments for Tony? You know, one of my tasks is to go around with James and hand out flyers for the Hamfest in Bergenfield for next month. Which will be indoors, air-conditioned, rain or shine. And you won't need to wear headgear. And you won't need to worry about mobility issues or anything like that. It's all flat. And it includes breakfast. For about the same price. I think it is the same price as the Bar Ham Fest, actually. It's very cool. But anyway, I'm kind of excited about that. But it's an August Ham Fest. It'll be nice and calm with breakfast. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody's brother come Sunday. It should be fun. I'm debating as to whether I want to go inside or outside this year. We'll see. We'll see what the weather says and whether Dan has a spot for me. Alrighty. Anybody else with comments about what Tony brought up?
Yeah, does anyone know what bus stops there?
You know, Tom, I don't know. I truly don't. But if you could go to the NJ Transit website, I'm sure they would. It would be Sussex County's Fairgrounds.
I'm more interested in the bus to get me to the meeting.
Ah, okay. I don't know that answer. Jim, would you know? What bus runs up and down? Was it Passat Road there?
Well, I don't even think there is one. At least not on Sunday.
That is Passat Road, isn't it?
Yeah, but the nearest one stops at the corner of Washington and Passat, but I don't think it runs on Sunday.
Well, that's a good start, so start with that and then check the schedule. So the NJ Transit website is absolutely amazing now because I didn't realize until very recently that you can give two addresses and you can reflect preferences or not, and magically it will get you amazingly close to where you want to go at a time schedule. It'll even allow for transitions between different modes of transportation or different vehicles, as it were. It's amazing.
Question?
Go ahead.
W1AU. Is the meeting at the Red Cross, like the calendar says, or is it at the Senior Center?
The Senior Center in Westwood, or Washington National, pardon me.
Is it raw?
Yes.
anyone who's paying attention, we do not meet at the Red Cross in Ridgewood anymore. We meet at the municipal building in Washington Township, across the street from the strip mall.
Any more from my house to Ridgewood? Do they go to the meeting?
There was a double there, but Tom is looking for a ride from his house to the meeting. Who was the other station?
K2AMI with a comment that I will correct the calendar almost immediately.
It's already corrected.
Anybody else?
It's David. It's already corrected.
Okay.
Check the next couple of months to make sure they're corrected, too.
They're already corrected.
Amazing. Excellent. Hey, David, this is a July month, a July net, so that means you're not driving your kids around crazy like you normally are on a Thursday night.
But that's correct. I just drove down to North Carolina, so I'm alone, and other than you speaking, it's very quiet in the house.
I can shut up if you would like that.
Cindy, just turn the radio off.
I can't tell.
Okay, very good. Both of you, I got that comment. It was good. All right, very good. Any other comments for Tony regarding the meeting or the Sussex campus on Sunday? Well, Sunday is a ham radio kind of day. If it's appropriate to leave a little room for the Almighty, either through the night before or evening of or whatever, afternoon of, whatever you can do. All righty. Let's see. Tony, you have any more?
Oh, next up is this time. I'll be listening.
Okay, very good. Alrighty, our next comment is a request for Nico to explain to us this funky antenna design that unrolls or whatever. Explain that to us.
K2BAR and the group, AA2NI, it's very simple. It's two trolleys, one on each side of a tripod that holds a one-to-one balloon in the middle, and the dipole wires are equally spaced. And last time I unfurled it to 80 meters with the antenna analyzer and marked the spools on each side for the maximum forward and minimum SWR. About 10 feet off the ground on the apex of the inverted V. And when we ran it for my front loan at portable day, I had some difficulties, but the next day we put it on my front loan and we contacted Cyprus with it. So the only drawback that I see is that it's one bend at a time. If you work on 20 meters, you open it for 20 and you stay there. If you want to move to 15, obviously you have to shorten the antenna. I don't know if that answers it. On my QRZ site, you can see some pictures. And some people took pictures at field day. Let me drop. AA2NI. I know that Bill W1AU took some pictures, and Rachel AJ4WD took some pictures. And if you guys will forward them to me, I'll post them on my QRZ site. But I have some older pictures that describe the trolleys and the connections to the one-to-one balloon and the two dipoles. I don't know if that answers it, Gordon. Back to you. K2BAR, AA2NI.
Question, sir. Is he being a wise guy? He really means ballon, not balloon?
Yes, he's not being a wise guy. There's a thousand pronunciations for that.
K2AMI with a comment.
Tony.
Phil has just sent out the barrel bulletin, and at the end of the barrel bulletin is actual pictures of Zico's radio and his installation and his trolley's antenna mount on the front lawn. So if you haven't yet received it or haven't yet looked at it, go to the barrel bulletin, which has just been recently sent out by Phil Barber, and you can explore the pictures there.
Will you get a hard copy at the meeting? Tony?
It's up to the executive board to take care of that problem. I don't do that.
Let's see. Let me see if I can get a, what do you call it? I have the new print cartridges. If they go in correctly, printer cartridges, then you should be able, I'll bring a couple of printed copies of the bulletin on Sunday.
Well, that's assuming I get to the meeting.
Okay, very good. Understood. Any other comments about Nico's antennas? Antenna, pardon. Alrighty, well, I'm just putting the bulletin now. In fact, I sent an article to Phil yesterday per his request, and I don't even know if I got in here. He wanted a short blurb, and I think we got it in there. I don't know if it's in here or not. I didn't have a chance to send pictures. Everybody who had pictures was not around. Love your box, Nico. I mean, that is really nice. Very nice station in the box. Nice wood deal, and you know, I guess that must be a real challenge. Now, I'm just kind of curious, what holds the wire together to the ballot? I mean, what are you reeling it up with in the ballot? I'm missing something here. Oh, I see. Never mind. I scroll down some more. Oh, isn't that clever? Oh, that's marvelous. Okay, so what he has is a spool of wire on a T-bar, at the end of a T-bar, the handle of a T-bar, and two wheels that are laying on the ground to allow you to roll it along. And then it's got a little prop leg to hold the handle up in the air to keep the end of the antenna off the ground. So the end result is that you end up with an Envis antenna of whatever band you know meets your pleasures. That's very, very neat. Is the J pole for 2 meters?
No, negative. The J pole is for VHF UHF.
So it's for 2 meters and 440. Oh, very nice. I didn't get a chance to read the whole thing, but very, very nice. I have something similar which I built in two variants. One is I took a light stand tripod and built something like what you have for your verticals, and I can actually accommodate a couple of vertical antennas, and then also a dipole. But I didn't have as clever a reel system like you did to hold the thing together. And then at one point I said, well, let me try something different. And I needed a table, so I took one of those 2-foot by 4-foot plastic tables, and I put a piece of aluminum L bracket all the way along the back end of it, and buried a handle in there so I could actually carry it. On the L, I have wing nuts for radials, but I also have 4 or 5 antenna mounts, either NMO or 3H24 for like ham sticks and things like that. And I'm about to build in a holder that will hold a vertical pipe to go, let's say, 10 or 15, 20 feet in the air if I want to go higher. So I'm building it into my table. The antenna support structures are built into the table. Very, very nice with the woodworking, by the way.
WA2PJF on frequency?
Yeah, WA2PJF. Welcome to the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. What's your name, sir?
My name is Vito. I'm here in Bay Shore. I do have a question, if I may.
Sure, Vito.
One question ahead of you. Can you hang on 1 second?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Alrighty. Let's, actually, real quick, Vito, is your question on this topic or is it a new topic?
New topic.
Yeah, just hang one. All right, let's finish this one and go to Noel's question. So, anything else on this topic?
Where do I find the pictures online?
The parable is usually online.
But I'm not usually online. I might be online today. Where do I QR Google it?
Barra.org, www.barra.org, and then go to the link for the Barra bulletin. I think it's on there. Is it not, David?
I think so. Tony easily puts it up, but I'll check.
So it's at Barra.org, Tom. Noel, your question, sir. Teach me air.
Quick question. If I was to be building a 6-meter beam, 3-element, 4-element out of an old TV antenna, and TV antennas usually have their elements separated, what would be a good primitive way, since the director and reader would not want to be separated, how would I connect the two of them together so it wouldn't just corrode because it's aluminum? Could I drill a little hole, put a stainless steel screw in it, put a whole element across it? That's question number one. Question number two, how would I build the gamma match easily?
Okay. A couple of things. Your first question is a little confused to me. Let me answer your second one first. All right, so how to build a gamma match easily. The easiest way to build a gamma match, but depending on how big a gamma match you need, is to either take the center conductor of a piece of coax and strip off the shield and jam it into a piece of tubing and make that as your capacitor. So make it a linear capacitor as opposed to putting one at the end. That usually works very, very well. And most modern multimeters have a capacitance meter function, so you can even measure the capacitance, but there are ways to you can also use the inner and outer conductor of a of a piece of coax. I've seen people do that and jam it into a piece of PVC tubing, which is kind of bizarre, but it'll work too, because the capacitance per foot, per linear foot of most coax is well known. The other way is just to use a rod and take a fixed capacitor and solder it or clamp it to the end. And you do it that way. That's the way Cushcraft did it in their old Yagis, and the problem was, of course, if you blow up the capacitor, it would also be very lossy, especially at 10 meters and 6 meters, and God knows, 2 meters, 220 and 440, it's like, God, they physical capacitors, it's like, yikes. So they're very lossy. I'm not a big fan of gamma matches at VHF. Even the high HF range, I'm not overly fond of them. I'd prefer a T-match or hairpin match or something like that, but that's just me. Any comments about that from anybody else? Okay, now, regarding your first question, I'm a little confused as to what you're trying to join together that you're worried about corroding.
Okay, we got a nice little TV antenna, and I checked that the elements are nice and long. I could use them for 6 meter beam. However, when you look at the TV antenna, every element, none of them are continuous. They're all one on each side. For the driven element, that's great. It's got the little plastic insulator and everything. However, for the director and the reflector, probably need one continuous element across. So how would you join the two separate elements, one from each side? Can I solder to aluminum? Would I use a little piece of one of the extra pieces of the aluminum tubing and screw it into it with a sheet metal or stainless steel screw? What would be the easiest way to do it?
The easiest way to do it would be to take an aluminum strap, and if you can get some high tensile strength aluminum bolts and nuts, all the better. If not, use stainless steel and just, you know, hit it with the oxidation glop, and just strap it across, and then you just have to adjust the length of the element to be appropriate for, you know, that spectrum that you want, because now your element's going to be not just the two disjoint halves, but the disjoint halves and whatever you use to join them together.
Sounds good. By the way, I got my, MA-5B up. We didn't get the rotator cable hooked up, but according to Mr. Joyce, I sound pretty good.
Very good. You know, a couple of years ago, there was some guy at the Sussex campus soldering aluminum cans together. And my guess is that super lightweight aluminum that's used in TV antennas might tolerate your soldering literally a piece of an aluminum can across the two just to make that joint. So you might consider that, too, if you can find one.
Oh, okay. Maybe I could just solder one of the other elements across, brighten it up, find a shiny spot in each, and just use that stuff and solder it across.
Yeah, if you can get it to take solder. Soldering aluminum is a pain in the neck, but there was that special stuff, and it only works for thin, really super thin wall aluminum, but I'm thinking that for a TV antenna on it, that you might actually get away with it.
Comment?
Go ahead, Jim.
K2BAR. This is K2ZO. The stuff is called Alumaloy. You see it advertised on TV late at night, and they were selling it over there at Sussex, and I did buy some of it, and it works quite well. It does do what it says it does. You clean the metal up, get out your propane torch. Interesting thing is it is harder than the aluminum. So when you're sanding it or trimming it up, you notice it. I used it to solder additional elements together. But in reality, the easiest thing to do on an aluminum antenna like that is just to use some of the no-oxidizing paste or whatever and put it on there with, you know, and wrap it and whatever. It should be fine. Back to that.
Okay. Very good. Let's see. In any case, let's see. Anybody have comments on what Jim said? Yeah, it's Alumaloy, you're right. But you do have to be careful with that stuff. It is touchy. All right. Does that answer your question, Noel?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Mr. Antuolio.
Alrighty. Anybody else? Alrighty. Our next question is from Vito, WA2PJF. Vito, welcome aboard. And again, where are you located?
Okay, fine. I'm located in Bay Shore. Name is Vito, as you know. We have my call sign. A question, this may be a tricky one or a difficult one. I have a Collins KWM2, and I'm a CW person primarily, but it doesn't matter either or. And on receive, the receiver section, the audio gain goes up and down, up and down. It fluctuates. And I have to keep adjusting the audio gain to be able to hear a CW signal or a sideband signal. And I did replace all of the tubes that were associated in that particular circuit. And I did, let me give the repeater a break. And I did burnish all of the contacts on all of the two relays that are sitting side by side in the radio. And doing that, I have not solved the problem. it starts out fine, and for 5 or 10 minutes you're doing great. All of a sudden the gain drops off, and then it comes back up again on its own. And sometimes it stays up fine, and sometimes it doesn't come back for 10 or 15 minutes. So I'm curious, where else would you suggest I should look to maybe find this problem? Probably a capacitor or something? What would you think? Go ahead.
Well, it certainly could be a capacitor. It's having a little trouble with age and just not getting with the program and just need a little extra time to charge up. That could be it. I don't have a lot of experience with Collins gear, but you're finding out that cleaning up the relay didn't solve the problem, so it does suggest something like a capacitor might be reaching the end of its service life and causing you some fits. Have you looked at the schematic to see what's in that section of the circuitry to do the changeover?
Yes, I did look at it. All I'm seeing are capacitors that I can think of next, maybe a resistor, which I don't think is going to be causing that problem. But that's all that's left. The radio is 60 years of age, and there's nothing else that comes to mind. So I'm guessing that particular stage or stages, that audio section, it wouldn't hurt to replace a few of those capacitors. But before I started getting involved in unsoldering and so forth, I just thought we had maybe a possible real quick to look at. But the only plus about the radio is that it's easy to service versus my Kenwood PS940, which is impossible. But I just thought maybe there's a quick answer to that question, but obviously there's not. I did miss your name, if I may. Go ahead.
Come on. Yeah, I'll get you in a second, Jim. Name is Gordon. My call is Whiskey 2 Tango Tango Tango, but we're using the club call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo tonight. K2's that out. Jim, take it away with your comment.
Okay, this is Jim, K2ZO. Vito, if you are sure that the relays are not dirty, I guess you've cleaned them. I don't know if you've got the one with the plug-in relays or not. But if you take a look at the schematic, there are some time-constant capacitors in the AVC circuit. If you have a high impedance, remember we're talking about tubes. If you've got a high impedance VOM, clip it on the AVC circuit, not the ALC, the AVC, which is the that cuts off the tubes as the signal strength increases, and just see if that is indeed working. If you had some problems on that line, you would see some weird changes. Also, switch the AGC off and see how the receiver responds, then, in which you have to manually adjust the gain, the RF gain. So with the AVC off, I think you can do that on a KWM too. I know you can do it on the receiver. And see if you can control it manually. If you can control it manually, then you know the problem is in the AVC circuit.
Okay, very good, Jim. Okay, very good. Excellent information. The relays are not plug-ins. I had to lift them out, and they're still wired, being very careful and not to bend the contacts. And I did burnish them the best I can. But what I'm thinking that, how can I say this, being that the problem, you're in contact with a individual, and then you go to receive, and the gain is all the way down very low. So I bring the gain up, and I'm copying CW fine. Suddenly, it just comes blasting through. I got to bring the AF gain all the way down again. So I'm not guessing it's a relay problem. I'm guessing it's a component problem, because if the relay is going to be a yes or a no, it's not going to happen in midstream. Am I correct in saying that, Jim? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you may have an ALC problem. I don't know how old your radio is, but and I don't know how many mods have been done on it. Collins came out with a mod about 1959 on the KWM2s, or maybe even later than that, that I know I did on a lot of them, which isolated the first RF stage with a resistor and a capacitor. And the idea was that on strong signals, the AGC would come up and cut off the tubes, but what it would do is have a different time constant that operated on the first RF amplifier. That was a modification that the factory came out with, and was done on a lot of them, and that may or may not have been done on yours. If that capacitor is bad, you'll see the problem that you're having, where sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But unless there's some other problem with the tube or some problem in the IF stage, it sounds like you might have a problem with the ABC line.
Very good, Jim. I have some insight now, some direction, and give me some an opportunity to do some more searching. Very good. I thank you so much. I will take your information and your knowledge, which you are very knowledgeable. I can see that, and I'll apply it to the situation, and hopefully I can render the problem resolved. I do have a friend that does service this equipment, and I know within moments he'll have it working, but it's $200 or $300 or $400 later. It's not feasible. So, okay. Thank you, Jim. Gordon, I'll go back to you, if I may, and thank you for the opportunity for me to be recognized. And this is WA2PJF Vito in Bayshore. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Gordon.
Question for Vito.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I'm not sure. One thing I was wondering, if you had a flaky volume control or something like that, or a gain plot or something that could be making poor contact.
Yes, I thought about that as well. I researched that situation. It's not the problem. Yes, that was my next thing in mind, which I approached. But no, it did not solve the problem. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Well, just a thought, because, that's one of the first things that seems to go in radio, that especially where you have to turn it on with the power on switch is on the volume control, and like most of these radios, and you're always cranking the volume control just to turn the radio on and you wear the thing out. All right, good luck with it, Dale. Maybe you could hopefully find where it is. W2JK, back to that. Thank you.
If I may, try to butt in. On the Collins is a separate switch for the power and a separate control for the audio. So they're not related to each other. So, but however, that was an excellent thought. Thank you, sir. Back to you, Gordon.
Yeah, Vito, let me ask you a question. Which model radio is this?
KWM2, not the A, the 2.
Okay. You have an original 2. God bless you. Wow, that's cool. There's a story about the 2A that... there were 2,500 of them in their original crates, 25 with power supplies, etc., left in Vietnam at Da Nang. Air Force had them in a cache there. And over the years, after the Vietnam, after 75, they would slowly filter out of Vietnam. And ones that were known to have been left by the U.S. military would find their way into ham shacks all over the world in the well into the 80s and early 90s. Is amazing. But I know guys who were in Vietnam and knew about that cache of KWM-2As, and they cried when they heard that they were left behind and didn't end up in somebody's ham shack. Hi. Anyway. All right, very good. Anybody else have any comments on this? Okay, Alvito, I want to thank you for coming in. Please check in every week. We meet at 9 o'clock, and even if you don't have a question or a comment, check in, because someone else may have a topic that
we think you might be able to answer. We'll probably call on you to help answer it. Everybody has talents and experiences, and we often call out to the most amazing folks. Even our lurkers like K2DSL come in with the hand of God and fix websites before our other webmasters can address the problem. And during that, it's amazing. All right, Andy. All righty. Who was it that I wanted to ask about the new... Oh, Don it was, I think. Not the K3, but there's a new... you know, radio that they're coming out with, that same manufacturer, QRP radio, with 10 watts and down. Looks like a control head with a BNC connector. It's got an optional external amplifier. Don, could you refresh us on that and give us a little blurb on that? That sounds like a really cool little radio.
This is W2JEK. Yeah, it's a aircraft is a QX-ray 3 Alpha, KX-3A. They had a, or the K, or the KX-3, or maybe it's a KX. Maybe it's a KX-3. They had a K-3, which is a big radio, and they had a KX-1, small radio. It's either a KX-1 comes as a kit, it's either as a 2-band or a 4-band radio, depending on which model you buy. And that had a lot of built-in stuff and setting. It's 3 inches by 5 inches and quite small, very has a lot to do a whole lot with the thing. And they went one better, built this radio, which is the size of an ordinary brick, I guess about, I think you know, at home, an ordinary red brick, about that size. And it's 160 through 6 meters, sideband, CW, and it has the ability to receive and send RIDI 331, which is much of a software-defined radio kind of a device. It's very similar to what the Big Brother K3 is capable of. I understand the base price is about $800 and some to be available in the fall, and they have optional prices. I think you're not just sure just how, which is, what is optional, what's standard on them. Antenna tuner and the entire battery pack and things like that, and there are other things that are other options. And I'm not familiar with all the all of it. The good website is www.qrparci.org. That's Quebec Romeo Papa Alpha Romeo Charlie qrparci.org. And I know they had one of the fellows from Norcraft there describing it. They had a video on that our night at one time. Back to that, W2JEK.
Yeah, it's a KX3, not a KX3A. And if you go to the homepage of QRPARCI, it's right there. The video is right there on the homepage. I think it's definitely something to be considered. It's just such a cute little radio, and what I noticed about it was, now granted, I'm a right-handed person, but if you put it on your right hand, if you look at how the geometry works, you could wear it on your shoulder strap, or if you really wanted to, on a sternum strap of a backpack, but you could literally wear it on your shoulder strap, the antenna over your shoulder, over your right shoulder, and you'd be able to look down to your right and tune with your left and, you know, keep your balance with a hiking stick with your right hand and still go marching along. I mean, it's just marvelous, absolutely marvelous. I definitely thought it was biased toward the right-hand person, but, boy, it looks really, really slick. It really does. I'd love one. We'll see what happens in the future, but that is a marvelous thing. And for those of us who've had things like FT-817s or IC-703 pluses or 703s, boy,
this looks like a big step up from the 703 plus. Alrighty, did we get to everybody's questions or comments so far? Okay, I did mention this last week, and I'll bring it to the Barra meeting. I'll bring it with me on Saturday, on Sunday. I mean, to the Barra, to the Sussex Hamfest. I have a backpack which I've built up to basically be a communications, you know, go bag, it's based on a basic rectangular pack with PALs or Molly webbing. Then I got pouches to match what I needed, and I strapped them on with the Molly strips, you know, I fixed them on to the basic pack. But the pack was purchased with the idea that it would hold a Panasonic Tough Book and another laptop, both inside the main pouch. And I managed to achieve that, and very comfortably. I mean, it's heavy, but I got a lot of stuff in it. And if you're not carrying that, you're carrying other things. You could carry an HF radio in there with a battery pack, something even larger. This KX3. It has a PRC 117 sized pouch inside the main compartment, and really awesome. It's even got antenna ports on the top for antennas if you would like to do that. So I'll bring that to the meeting on Sunday night, and people can look at it. It literally is a communications go kit in your backpack. It's awesome. And you can reconfigure it using the Molly pouches for whatever mission tasking you might have in mind with whatever communications requirements you might have. One of the side pouches I have put in there is I put a D-Star HT on one side and a conventional FM HT on the other. One I use with a GPS speaker mic, and the other one I use with a Temple transducer headset. So I've got both, and so you can be all geeked out and ready to go. There's also room in the side pouch for an FM transceiver and a sizable battery, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe an A123 battery or something. All right. I'll bring that on Sunday for people to take a look at. Maybe I should do at some point is clear off my dining room table and take some snapshots and maybe even do a YouTube video of how you can deploy out of the bag for a couple of different mission profiles. Alrighty, that's all I have. Anybody else? Alrighty, well thanks everybody. It's been a really neat net, really, really neat net tonight. All sorts of people from all over. It's great. Everywhere from Bayshore to Richmond to West Orange via Echo Link to Westchester, all over Burton County. It's excellent. Great to hear everybody. Thanks again, and don't be a stranger, and I hope you get more check-ins from the great of beyond next week. This is K2BAR thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater, and wishing everybody a fond good night. This is W2TTT.
W2TTT disconnected. Thank you.
Thank you.